Hello, welcome to the Say That, the podcast where your big questions get real answers. My name is Matt King here in the city of Chicago. I'm your host, and joining me again is Glenn Fitzgerald, the president of Mission USA.
Yes.
Also joining us here in Chicago is Jed Brewer, and Jed's going to be doing something a little special for us this week. A couple of other podcasts that some of our folks are associated with gotten a little negative review for not having enough Bible, so Jed will be randomly reading from the King James Version at certain intervals. It'll go a little something like this.
Let us turn now to the Pentateuch, to the book of Leviticus in the 24th chapter and the first verse. Let us rise for the reading of the sacred and holy word of God. And the word says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually.
Wow, I got a little Churchill there at the end. I enjoyed that. And joining us from the state of Tennessee, one of the pastors at Christ Community Church, Lee Younger. Hey, Lee.
What's up, fellas?
Yo.
That was extra Bible-y, Jed.
That was so biblical.
That's what people are looking for, is they want it to be extra, super, more Bible in it.
Totally.
I mean, who does that? Who says, this is a podcast, a work of love and devotion. They sat down, they worked, they mixed this together, they wrote the music, they're going to... And these are friends of ours, and Lee's involved in it, that does the Water Tower podcast. If you're looking for a podcast that actually rocks, it's going to minister to you throughout the week, do that. But somebody goes, listens to their podcast, the Water, and says,
Needs more Bible!
This is exactly what this person's voice sounds like, I don't know how I know that. It's a prophetic word. Hey, wait, why can't I have more Bible on it? I want more Bible. Wait, dude, it's okay. In order for us to, we have to talk to you in order to get you somewhere. We can't just read the Bible to you and that's it.
You know the way to get more Bible, to really max out the Bible, Glenn? Read the Bible.
Yeah. You listen to a nice podcast and you think, the thing that you think to yourself is, well, that is nice that someone did that for me for free, and I can just be thankful.
Well, you know what this makes me think of from the Bible is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian, where the Ethiopian is riding his chariot and reading the scriptures, and Philip shows up, and Philip says, hey, how's it going? And the Ethiopian says, great, because I understand all of it. I don't need anyone to explain it to me, break it down, or give application. I just understand all of it, so you can go on your way. That's exactly how the story reads. You should read it in the Bible. It's just like that.
Wow. Somebody out there in internet land just got Bible owned.
Here's what we've learned, and we're going to let Matt take control back of the podcast.
Seems unlikely, but...
Here's what I'm saying is, there are people out there in the world that are saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write a review, and I'm going to say something just awful. Now, here's what you need to know. A, nobody likes you when you do that. You don't have friends that appreciate that. B, no one's listening to you. No one says, wow, it's an awesome, thanks for telling me that. I needed to know I could have more Bible. You can't have more Bible in anything, dude. I mean, that's not an insight. You haven't given me something that I can work with here yet.
Well, dude, the comic book guy from Simpsons, worst podcast ever. When you do that, that's who you are. Yeah. You are the comic book guy.
Don't be that guy.
Okay, well, the way this podcast works is occasionally, if you make fun of our friends, we'll berate you for several minutes on end.
Yeah, apparently.
So I like the setup that the Water Tower is like the government official who works for the mob, and we're like the enforcers.
Horsehead people.
They just come
horsehead.
By. Like, we just get the note of so-and-so said something not too nice, and Jed and Glenn are just in shiny suits.
All I'm saying is me hollering into the mic on this is going to lead perfectly into our first question.
Totally.
That is a very fair point, folks.
Bam!
You think it's all random, but we have a plan.
No.
Okay, so the way this does work is we take questions from the listeners. We have a Tumblr page. We have an email address. If you stick with us all the way through to the end, we'll give you ways you can get in touch with us. And our friend Charles Harvey emailed us in and said, so I was listening to the podcast, and in episode 11, you made a comment about venting. The way I've always seen it is that if you have a problem with someone, they are the one you should be talking to about it in hopes of resolving it, and talking to someone else about it before ever confronting that person is gossip. I was hoping you could help define some left-right boundaries on the difference between venting and gossip. Glenn, can you go ahead and kick us off here?
First of all, this is an awesome question. Second of all, you've asked it in a really awesome way. And we, just to kind of let you know, we love getting sort of these kind of follow-up questions. Yeah. We love going into more depth. Don't feel shy if there's part of what we say that sort of sparks another question. Don't feel like you can't ask sort of a follow-up or get us to go into some more depth. We love doing that. So that's fantastic. And Charles, you've been told some good stuff. It's absolutely right. You don't want to, if you have a problem, let's say with somebody in church and you go to somebody else in church and, you know, kind of spread that negative attitude around, next thing you know, that is sort of gossiping, that is creating a problem and what have you. So I think first and foremost, you want to be able to have a third party that you can talk to. The pastors, the part of the job that I work with is working with, part of the job I do is working with pastors. And I'm always encouraging them, find somebody like myself that's outside your church. I don't have a horse in this race. You can tell me whatever. I don't even know who you're talking about, whatever, whatever. But I think it's good to have somebody, even if that's just us and you're on Tumblr and you want to ask us a question or what have you, where you can vent it to us and ask us questions and what have you. But I think it's about finding that third party person. And I think it's better that way because that person doesn't have a prejudicial view. They aren't inclined to go your way or the other person's way or whatever. They don't have a biased view of it. You want to lay that out to them. You want to be honest about that fully, and that does mean venting. That does mean sort of unloading. I think when you do that right, what happens is you'll start hearing your own answer to your own question a lot of the time. Sure. For me, there are times where I'll vent to my wife. I say, you know, this person's driving me crazy, woo, woo, this and this and that. And by the time I'm halfway through explaining it, the solution to it already is starting to occur to me. And Jane is really just helping me kind of flesh that out. I think that's absolutely essential. The worst thing you do is repress this stuff down and try and be, I'm going to be all holy and Christian about it. I'm just not going to have any feelings. It's what's, you know, just smile no matter what and have no whatever. That stuff is, it's bad for you. It's a bad idea. You know, that's going to hurt you. But I think the idea of, and these guys will give you some more of those kind of parameters and a better way of looking at it. But I think the right way of looking at that is let's find a third party person where it's sort of outside of that situation and you can express that stuff, get it off of your shoulders. And even if you find out you're wrong, you can give it up. Often I'm saying to Jane, I'm going to tell you something and I'm wrong. I have the wrong attitude. Right. I have the wrong idea, but I have to say it. Before and get it off my chest before I can figure out what to do next, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Lee, can you jump in there?
Well, I know that, you know, the pastoral staff, the guys that I work with, we always have kind of one day a week that we call our kind of waste management day, where we just kind of, we have a lunch, we have a time that we just sit down and I'm just going to say everything that's weighing me down. I'm going to say, and we kind of have a, everybody else in the room has a, I'm not going to judge you policy and everything. And it's just a safe place where I can just say my fears, my problems, my frustrations. And I've got to have that in my life for a couple reasons. Glenn was saying, one reason that I've got to have that is, you know, when I'm looking at the situations, I don't know if I'm right about it. I don't know where I am on it. And sometimes I need those, you know, I need somebody wise in my life that isn't hurting from it the way that I am, isn't personally affected maybe the way that I am, that can help me look at it. I would say, you know, when you're looking at what's the kind of left and right of when something becomes gossip, I would say it kind of crosses the line when basically you're talking to somebody about this situation or this other person, and you want them to not like that person you're talking about. You're gearing the story, you're turning the situation, you're telling it in such a way to get them on your side against that other person. You're tweaking it. And you know, and it's hard to know our motives a lot of times, but sometimes if you can really look at it, you can kind of tell, you can kind of feel it in your spirit when you've crossed that line of like, I want you to be mad at this person with me. Will you do that? Yeah. And in fact, will you go talk to some other people about it? I think one clue on when we can find out if it's gossip is, how many people are we talking about at this point? You know, I mean, you know, if you've already talked about, if you've already aired it out with somebody and they've kind of helped you look at it a little bit, and then you want to call somebody else up and air it out with them, and then you want to call somebody else up and air it out with them. It's like, at this point, we're just kind of spreading stuff, you know? But especially if you have that motive in your heart of like, I'm upset with this person and I want you to join with me in that. I mean, if you honestly don't know, like, I don't know how to feel about this. I'm hurt. I've got all these emotions. I need you to help me work that out. I think that's what I would classify as kind of healthy venting. But if I've got a motive in there of, hey, I'm going to tell you this thing and I'm going to tell it in such a way that you're going to be so on my side and you're going to be against that other brother or whatever. And I think that's one clue of, as far as a left and right boundary of when we've crossed over that line.
Yeah, absolutely. Jed, you have a thought on this?
For sure. I mean, just to back up what's already been said, I think the key here is don't be legalistic about it. The truth is, when something's gone down, you need wisdom, you need perspective, you need those things. I mean, one of the things that happens when we go and get perspective is we are able to find a better solution than what we would have come up with on our own. We're able to figure out more precisely what was wrong with what happened. We talk around here a lot about needing to cut deep but cut clean, you know, to only go after the part that was wrong. I mean, if I have to confront somebody, I break my foot off, dude. I mean, I don't play around with that. But part of that means I'm being very precise about what they did, what made it wrong. Yeah, and I need wisdom to know that. So if I'm just going off half-cocked and angry, but I'm only talking to them, it's really ineffective confrontation. That's just a bad. That's not good for them. That's not good for me. I need outside wisdom to know the kind of what made it wrong. But like Lee's saying, you know what your intent is. If your intent is to do the godly thing, you know you need wisdom. If your intent is to hurt that person, then you're going and you're spreading rumors. I mean, that's they call it libel for a reason. So I think just to back what's already been said, you need wisdom, but don't be legalistic about it. You know what you know what's driving the bus here, and be cool with that.
Yeah, for sure. Lee, do you have another thought on this?
Well, I was just going to add, when Jed kind of talking about the confrontation deal, you know, one thing that my boss Tom has taught me so much about confrontation, specifically when you have these kinds of issues that you need to vent about, or you're wondering if it's gossip, or you might need to actually confront somebody, is like when he's talking about the cut, you know, the cutting deep and cutting clean, is that we always take the time to actually like sit down with a piece of paper and write down what the issues are so that your emotions aren't clouding you as far as other things that might be happening. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to, when I go to confront somebody or even when I'm talking about it with somebody else, I don't want to say, well, when you said this with this look in your eye, it really made me feel this and the tone of your voice. You don't want to do that. You want to say, the issue is that when this happens, this is the way you know, this is what you did. You want to have clear cut issues that you can talk about so that if a confrontation needs to happen or whatever, if you're needing to get advice from that friend that you're venting to, that you can keep it on that issue. If you start just talking about the person's character and their history and all that kind of stuff, that's another, you know, you could kind of bleed over into gossip and that kind of stuff. But I think that helps as far as the cutting deep and cutting clean is to know specifically, here's what those issues are, and I'm not going to jump off of that. I'm going to stay right here.
Yeah, for sure. Glenn, you got something else?
Yeah, and just real quick, I think what's great about that sort of having your agenda is you can make sure that you include, you know, that this is coming from a place of love. You can say, look, let me open with, here's how I love you. You know, this isn't out of anger. This is stuff that we just need to fix. And I think the thing that Charles definitely has right here and that he doesn't need in any way to change that we're all talking about here is coming to the person one-on-one.
Yeah.
That when you need to confront that person, that's you and them. And the Bible says that's the right thing. What's not the right thing is to sit down at your computer and say to the whole internet, this doesn't have enough Bible.
Yeah. Dang straight.
So that's not absolutely biblical.
Yeah.
Ironic that.
And I'm not happy.
Yeah.
When that happens.
Glenn's a little ornery about the iTunes reviews.
Don't mess
so
with my people, man.
Leave them, but be nice. Yeah, I think to wrap that one up, a big part of what we're saying here is intent has a lot to do with it. If you're just trying to, like Lee was saying, the rest of these guys, if you're just trying to get everyone else mad at a person, that's obviously not cool. But in the situation you're talking about, if you have to vent to someone who is older, who knows knows what's going on, like you're saying, Glenn's saying, who's outside of the situation emotionally, if you're trying to get some perspective for a confrontation, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not sinful. That's not gossiping. Gossiping comes in when you're actively trying to recruit people to your side, I think is what we'd say on that. So we're going to kick over to our next question. This comes into Glenn's blog, which is very popular.
It is extremely popular.
We like to remind the folks
I think
of that.
It's, and I'm not sure about this. I think technically it's more popular than y'all's blogs.
I think its popularity is
just quite a fun fact is what that is. Yeah. I mean,
it's not a question.
Yeah. No.
See, we would never have a drinking game for this podcast because that would be wrong.
Right.
But if we did, I think the couple lines you heard right there would be prominently featured. So I think this says comes into uncleglenn.tumblr.com.
Which is
if you want to be part of the popularity. It says, my ex-boyfriend who broke up with me a month ago is trying to get me back. He lied to me so many times during the relationship, but then decided to admit everything and told me that he's leaving because he can't hurt me anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. Did that slip out? Was that? Well, that wasn't a comment. That's just...
Oh, yeah.
Dang, girl.
Jed, what's up with these mics, buddy? You're picking up my thoughts.
Baby, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Dang.
At that time, I was still stupid and tried to work things out. However, he would ignore me and not really care, and now he's back. How do I know if he's changed? Do you think it's right to work things out? Anonymous, please. Thanks, Uncle Glenn. Jed, let's throw to you first on this one.
Well, darling, I think, you know, you're already pointing in the right direction. You've got a dude that's trying to play you. You know what you're saying. I love the question. You know, how do I know if he's changed? Do you think it's right to work things out? Jesus said, you know, a tree by its fruit. He said that a good tree produces good fruit, that a bad tree produces bad fruit. And all of the fruit that you're seeing from this dude is very, 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 very bad. Bad enough that in the South, if someone were to do my sister that way, they'd never find his body. That's the way that would go down. The thing on it is people do change. I mean, that's the great truth of the gospel. That's the great truth of Jesus, is that people do change, that transformation can and does occur, but it takes time. Truly penitent person is willing to wait. A truly penitent person recognizes that they've made mistakes, and they're not trying to rush you into a reevaluation of their character. We work with a lot of guys that are coming out of addiction, and they've done, as bad as all this is, and again, darling, it's awful. You have not been treated well, and I'm really sorry for it. Right. But as bad as all that is, the guys that we deal with are coming out of addiction have done unbelievably heinous things. I mean, they have lied, stolen, cheated. They've done everything they could think of to feed that addiction, and then they come to a point of sobriety and a point of obviously salvation. And they want to know, you know, what is it going to take to kind of to win my family back over? I've alienated all these people, and the truth is, it's time. It takes time. It takes consistent change over a long period of time. And the thing is, a penitent person, this is one of the ways I always know that someone is truly repentant, is they don't mind that time element. That doesn't mean they like it, but they don't mind it. Right. A person who thinks you should change your opinion today is a person who hasn't really changed.
Yeah, and they're ready to earn it back.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah, go ahead. You want to expand on that a little bit, Glenn?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everything Jed's saying here. You know, we work with a lot of guys who've got a past, and you know, our job is believing in them, and we do, and that's great. If you want to believe them, that's great too. But here's the thing: is I'm hearing a lot about what he did wrong, and I hear a lot about what he wants to do now. But what I'm not hearing much about is what you want to do.
Yeah.
Why is this guy a relevant topic in your life? I mean, if
massively mistreated you.
Yeah, I mean, on one level, it's like, well, you know, okay, whatever. He's maybe pretty in the face, and you know, we had good times before.
Only the skinniest of jeans.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. You know, tightest t-shirt and
drives a Mustang. I don't know if you noticed. It's a pretty cool car.
I mean, you know, it could be all of those things, I guess.
On weekends, it's a Camaro.
Really, you wanted to jump in there on the weekends as a Camaro.
Yeah, that's right.
Y'all couldn't see that at home. Jed kind of gave me the look like, let me jump in there with
yeah.
on the weekends it's a Camaro.
That's comedic gold, man.
No, it's, you know, it's really not.
Yeah, folks, we'd love to live stream and give you some video of the podcast, but that would lead to us immediately being shut down and all fired from our jobs.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, no, I think the thing is, why is there this idea or an attraction or an interest in a guy that where it's already gone wrong? We've already proven this is not at one point was not a healthy thing. We don't know how much change has taken place, so we don't know whether this is a good idea or not. It's cool and flattering that he's interested, but the question I have is, what about the guy that's going to your church? That's got a huge crush on you.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Sweet.
Right.
He's
right,
never
right.
messed up any relationship he's had. He's not, you know, looking at you in an unpleasant way. He's not looking to hurt you in some sort of way. Why is this guy not getting a shot? But instead, we're trying to go back to the same
to schmucko.
Yeah, yeah. I think we need to. I see this a lot with young Christians today. This sense of moving on. They're much more interested in trying to make the old bad relationship work
yeah.
than going right. and getting into a new one. I don't know if that's like a, this is almost like a marriage kind of a thing. Like, you know, I'm trying to show that if I was in a bad marriage, that working and fighting to make this good would be whatever. I don't know if it's that, but I think it's an unhealthy deal.
Well, Glenn, that's what happens in the Sandra Bullock movies.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
really mean to her for the yeah. first two acts.
Yeah.
But he's obviously the best looking guy in the film, so we know yeah. that she's meant to be with him.
Oh.
And then he's really nice in the last 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And then the movie ends, and you don't see what their marriage looks like.
Yes.
I see.
And that's well, the way love works.
Now
Lee,
learning.
Can you jump in on this one?
Well, I know we've talked about this verse before, but in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, because from it come the wellsprings of life." It's the issues of life. And it's more of the same that these guys are saying. It's like, you've got to take care of your heart. And there's no reason for you to just automatically say, okay, well, this, you know, everybody deserves a second chance, and that's the way, you know, the Christian faith is and everything, so that means I've got to give him a second chance. And that's just not the truth. I mean, you know, salvation is by grace, but this is not. You know, you don't have to jump right back in this thing just because, you know, he's saved or whatever else is going on. You need to get your head in a space where you can move on, like Glenn's saying, look around, you know, maybe just take a break from the whole thing, but be open to whatever else the Lord would bring yeah. in your life. In working with high school kids for the past 10 years, I've seen this 100 times, just 100 times, where, you know, the girl's been treated terribly. She's been, you know, just verbally misused. She's been physically taken advantage of and every, you know. And then, you know, and the guy wants to come back and he's accepted the Lord and now he's all sweet and everything. And I'm saying, no, stop. Don't do it. What you need to do is fire this guy from your life in every possible way. And sometimes they listen and sometimes they don't. I'm thinking about one girl that did listen to me, and then she just kind of started walking with Jesus. And then the Lord brought the sweetest guy into her life, who had, by the way, he had a crush on her for a year and a yeah. half. And guess what? Now they're married, they're about to have their first baby, and these two folks, they're just as happy as they can be, just walking with the Lord, and the guy that made the promises and stuff, he's still making a giant mess of it over in the next county, yeah. you know? Yeah. And so the thing that I would say is, look, yes, salvation is by grace, but this is not, and you need to guard your heart.
Right.
Go ahead and move on.
Yeah, Jed, you want to jump in on this one?
Well, just a quick final thing to build on what both Glenn and Lee are saying is, I think Christian ladies sometimes, they get this weird sense that because, you know, men are called to be in leadership and there's a way in which that is true and biblical, and because culturally we say that, you know, men are supposed to take the lead in terms of asking out, and that's fine. I think Christian women can wind up with this weird passivity, where they feel like their role is just to kind of, you know, lay back and receive. And that's not true. That's not godly. That's not biblical. Here's what I'm talking about is, I'm saying you have an act active role in your relational life. With this dude, the active choice before you is to say, heck no, get away from me, don't ever talk to me again. Right. But that also means that when you have, as Glenn's talking about, that sweet guy that's had a crush on you forever and wants to talk to you and whatnot, if he screws up the courage to make a move, your job is to say yes.
Yeah.
You have a role in all of this. You are not meant to be just cast about by every whim and every emotion that comes to you. And you're not meant either to think of yourself as, again, this passive recipient in these relationships.
Yeah.
You have an active role to play. And if you're not sure what that is, we may want to put the whole relationship thing with everybody on hold and start to figure out what that active role looks like.
Yeah, you got to know what you deserve. And
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I would add to that is that trust is something that doesn't get given. It gets earned, and it gets earned constantly and over a long period of time. So if you're going to let someone in back in your life who's hurt you, it's not on you to just trust them again out of the blue. It's on them to earn that trust.
That's true, and Matt's always saying that.
Totally.
I say that a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just say it just three times in a row just to make sure it sinks in.
Don't worry.
Sometimes the equipment fights us, folks, and we're dealing with that right now. If that's okay, because we've got one last question. This came into our Bridge blog. That's thebridgechicago.tumblr.com. And it says, I was wondering if you have any tips on how to survive being the only Christian in your house and family. My family don't believe in God and don't support me at all and often tell me your God isn't real and things like that. Some days it's incredibly hard to deal with. Have you got any tips or strategies for dealing with family, etc., especially when they don't support you in your Christian life? Lee, can you kick us off here?
Sure. It's really funny that we got this question tonight because, you know, we have our high school Bible study on Sunday nights, and that's what I do before we record this podcast. And as soon as Bible study was over, one of our kids asked me to kind of pull me aside and asked if we could talk. And she was just talking about this exact issue, just being the only person in her house and just getting a lot of grief from her mom, you know, and a lot of it is just really in your face, really, you know, just, you know, every time she's, you know, her mom walks in, sees her reading her Bible. I mean, it's just persecution. And then it's like, you're not honoring your mother. Why are you got your nose in the Bible, but you don't honor me and all this kind of stuff. And just having had that conversation like 30 minutes ago, the first thing I want to say to whoever it is that wrote this question is, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry that you're going through this. I hate that this is happening to you. I know it's hard. I know it hurts. I know it's a difficult thing to walk through for somebody that's supposed to love you, for somebody that's supposed to have your back, to tell you your God isn't real, and to play you down hard like that, that's a tough thing. And you know, that's the way all of us feels. We're just sorry for it. And I know, you know, I mean, I'm just going to be praying for you. This is an anonymous question, but I'm just going to be praying for you over the next few weeks and stuff like that. And like Glenn said earlier, please, you know, write us in follow-up questions, communicate with us, help us know how we can take care of you and pray for you better. But one thing that I was telling this girl that I was talking to, and that I want to say to you on this deal is that I want you to know that Jesus has your back, and that no matter how your family treats you, He knows your heart. He sees the inside of it. He knows your love for Him. He sees your desire to walk with Him. He knows that people don't understand you. And for what it's worth, Jesus knows how that feels.
Yeah.
He knows how it feels to be misunderstood. He knows how it feels to be rejected. In John chapter 1, it says that Jesus came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. In Mark chapter 3, His own family wanted to have Him arrested because they said He had lost His mind. You know, they persecuted Him. His brothers made fun of Him. I mean, He knows how it feels to be mistreated by His family and to be the only person kind of on the right spiritual tip in His family. And so, you know, I guess I know these other brothers are going to be able to help you kind of understand some more stuff. I'll kick it to them. But I guess the first thing that I wanted to say is that Jesus knows your heart. He sees you. He cries your tears with you. Psalm 56 says He writes all your tears down in a scroll and He keeps them in a bottle. And your broken heart is something that means a lot to Him. He sees your hurt and He feels for it.
Yeah, for sure, Glenn.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100% with Lee. I grew up in a family. I was not raised in the church, and I certainly know what that's like to kind of go through having family be on a different page and being negative with that. I would give you three possibilities of what's going on here, and hopefully you can kind of recognize that from what you're dealing with here. First possibility is sometimes parents who, particularly those who aren't raised in the church, aren't used to church language, they aren't used to church culture, and it can be kind of frightening to them in a way. If a kid's coming home and saying, I'm just going to give my all to Jesus, that might sound to them, if they've never heard anything like that, that might sound kind of extreme. Is this a cult thing? Is someone brainwashing my child? Is someone going to try and be a stronger influence in my child's life than I am and turn them against me and all that kind of stuff? And that can be really frightening. And if they're not used to the language on that, that can overwhelm them. So sometimes it's about talking to your, or just communicating what you're doing and why you're doing it in, I guess, maybe a more secular type language or whatever, but kind of making clear to them that you're going into this with your eyes wide open, that you're committed to this thing, but that it isn't a dangerous or unhealthy thing. Second possibility, which sounds a little bit like what's going on with the situation Lee mentioned, is sometimes family, unsafe family, dysfunctional unsafe family will use it as a point of manipulation. Yeah. Certainly my family from time to time would try that, you know. Hey, can I need to borrow $500 to get some new rims on my Camaro, you know, and you say, well, no, I don't think so. And that,
Glenn, does your family ever leave iTunes reviews by any chance?
Yeah,
that
possibly,
sounded a lot
yeah,
like
yeah,
something that happened
similar,
earlier.
Similar, yeah. You know, I need money for this thing that, you know, that's just, you know, not good for me and unhealthy. Will you give it? And you say, well, no, I can't hook that up for you, brother. Sorry. And that becomes, well, how, you're not a Christian because you won't give me everything I want and do whatever I say. That's what the Bible says. You know, and you have to be able you have to be understanding about the fact that these people aren't really commenting at all on Christianity. They're just trying to use it as something against you. They sense that's something that you care about. And I think the main goal there is just to keep them from getting your goat. But I think there's one other possibility I want to quickly touch on, and it's this. Sometimes people will question your faith because they're interested in it for themselves. And they're almost like putting you to the test, but it's just kind of in a negative way of like, so you just forgive everybody then, huh? And then you say, well, no, it's a process and God has to work within me, but the goal is to be at peace because I've forgiven everybody. Well, but so how do you get strength from God then, huh? I guess you just pray, huh? Yes, you pray, and you know, it's just almost this negative, sort of ugly way of asking questions and getting answers and investigating it, and that's actually a good thing. You kind of want that. I mean, you don't want the way they're coming at it, but sometimes just by being mellow and not being manipulated and not being whatever, and answering things in a straight way, in a simple, grounded way, you can communicate back, A, you won't manipulate me, B, I'm not in some sort of cult, and C, if you're actually interested in it, here's what the deal is.
Yeah, absolutely. Jed, can you close us out here?
Sure. Well, much like Lee said, I'm really sorry it's going on. It's not cool. It's not okay. Just so you know, you're not alone, and it might sound weird to say this, but most Christians, particularly most teenagers and college students who get serious about the Lord and come from Christian families, actually experience something similar to what you're describing. Yeah. Because what happens is if you get serious about the Lord, you kind of grow past where your family members are at, even if they're Christian to begin with, and the thing is they act the exact same way. They're harshing on your buzz. They're trying to tear you down. They don't like your style because you're making them feel bad. You know, I mean, you know, they're looking at you and they see in you what they feel like they should be doing and they're not, and they feel bad about that. So there's a couple things that suggests. The first is for you to be aware. I'm guessing this is a high school student that wrote this message. She's a person who still lives at home. And one thing I would encourage you on is this is not forever. You are going to get out of this house. I'd encourage you to do that sooner. rather than later. You need a place in your life that's a sanctuary for you. It really does get better. It really does improve. Moving out is a good thing. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. But then the other thing is, you know, the Bible talks about knowing how to answer people. And just to build on what Glenn was saying, because I think that's so right on. I think people have this sense that if they say something negative to you and you're a Christian, you have to respond like a wet noodle. Like they say, right. Your God isn't real. And you have to say, I'm sorry that you feel that way. And that's not it. You know, I mean, you know, you obviously the Bible tells us to always speak with gentleness and respect. They say, you know, your God's not real. Say, I tell you what, dude, real or not, when I lie down at night, I feel like somebody loves me. How's that working out for you?
Right.
You got to know how to answer people. Everybody worships something, dude. Yeah. And, you know, if anybody who's acting that way, what they're worshiping isn't working for them. So I think it's about recognizing that, you are not meant to just kind of passively take what's going on here. You're meant to have a way to answer it, and to answer it in a way like Glenn is saying, that is standing your ground and is making it clear this isn't something half baked. I'm not in this halfway. I'm not looking to be, you know, rude to you or mean to you. But if you're going to step to me, I can hold my ground on this God stuff because I'm about it.
Yeah, and real super quick, if I can jump in there. We see this a lot with gang members where that we work with here in Chicago. A guy will kind of lead the heavy involvement in the gang. He'll just start going to church. But this is the way they treat him. Like, oh, so you're a Christian now.
Yeah.
And we had one guy got to become a Christian and go to church and all that. All the guys are like, oh, I see you some kind of Christian. I guess you're going to be going to church from now on and not going to hang out with us or read your Bible. So I went back to the guys in the neighborhood. I was like, why are you guys not being cool about this? I mean, for heaven's sake, I thought you were kind of glad that he was bettering his life and straightening out and he's got a kid on the way and that he's going to church. I thought we were all on the same page. And they're like, we are. We think it's great that he's going to church. I'm like, why are you being so... mean and rude about it. It's like, well, we're not going to listen to him tell us about Jesus unless he knows how to be on a solid footing about it. If he can't handle us, you know, gigging him a little bit on it, then he doesn't really believe it. And we're not going to listen to him tell us anything if he didn't really believe it. So, you know, to them, it's just a very, antisocial way of putting him to the test. But that's what he's doing.
And just to tie that all the way back to the first question, that brings us back. You need fellowship. Because you need a place to vent, to tell people, my family's driving me crazy. They're making me nuts. I need to get together with some people, grab a cheeseburger, and talk it out and be real about it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And to close out on that topic, I totally relate to this. I am the only Christian in my family and have been since I came to the Lord about 10 years ago. And one of the verses that's helped me out on this is 2 Corinthians 2, and it says, that people who love Jesus give off an aroma, and Paul says it's life to life and death to death. So a lot of these motivations we're talking about are very true. But a couple I'd add to that is a lot of this is probably your folks feeling insecurity. A little lot we talk about you're bettering yourself, you're accepting an authority that you didn't get from them. That's really hard for insecure people who feel they should be respected. Another thing is, a lot of this, on some level, is a lot of times people's reaction to Jesus and not you.
Right.
They actually see something authentic in you. And to someone who spiritually doesn't have any of that life, to be confronted with that doesn't feel good, and they get defensive about it. So it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It actually probably means you're doing some stuff that's right, like we're saying. We appreciate the question. And that wraps us up for this week. We appreciate you listening.
More Bible.
We really should have had more Bible. We'll work on that next time. If you guys want to get in touch with us and tell us that we need more Bible, you can do that by emailing us at saythatpodcast@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on our Tumblr. That's thebridgechicago.tumblr.com. Real quick, I want to thank some folks who left us iTunes reviews.
Woo!
Wow, these are even harder to read than Tumblr names. I'm deciphering license plates, people. Tara Clinn, Bunny Buns, woo! Which is not hard to read, but funny. And Marmala 6994 all left us lovely iTunes reviews. We appreciate that. That really helps us out. See you next week. We love you. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it.